There are two readings today. The Old Testament reading comes from Psalms, Psalm 23. All of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. New Testament comes from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, and there are two sections to this reading. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8 through to 16, then 24 to 29. Hebrews 11, verse 8, when I find it. Here we go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the greetings promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value and treasure than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
Thanks, Greg. Please do keep both those readings open there. Keep a finger in both if you can. This is our last week of our series on eldership. And I hope it's been an encouragement for you. It's certainly been challenging and encouraging for me. But as we come to God's word, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, again, we are thinking about you, our good shepherd, the one who leads us on. And I pray as we think about you and the way you lead us, as we think about elders and the way that they should lead us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see Jesus. That you show us what he is like. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Azealia and I, when we were going out, we had a day where we went kayaking. I think it was our anniversary or something. So we went out to this boat shed on a river, hired some kayaks, got on in. They basically, you know, just sort of took our money and they said, here's some life jacks, here's some paddles, here's a kayak, water's there, off you go. And off we went. And Azealia had a lovely day. She had a lovely day. She cut this beautiful line through the water, powering ahead around every little bend of the river. I kind of watched her go. She had a lovely day. I, for the life of me, could not get this kayak to go straight. I was like, paddle, paddle, paddle over here, and then paddle, paddle, paddle over here, and I'm like zigging. I estimate I actually covered quite twice the distance that Azealia did. Because I was just doing this the whole day. I could not get the thing to go straight. I found more lily pads and logs and rocks and reeds than anyone in a kayak should see. I reckon I saw every square inch of that river. It's very different when we did a kayaking tour around the ocean cliffs outside Hobart a few years ago. We were part of a large group. The first thing we did, we all kind of met on this little beach. And before we'd even put the life jackets on, the guide actually showed us how to paddle. Very helpful. Very helpful. Showed us how the little rudder worked. Very helpful. And as we were going, we were traveling as a group. He guided something like 14 kayaks along. He took us into all the little bays, all the little harbors. He even kind of got us to row backwards into this sea cliff. It was quite cool. He knew of all these places. He pointed out all the natural landmarks. He pointed out all the historical landmarks. He showed us where we were going to stop for lunch. And when it was lunchtime, ta-da, he just kind of magically pulled lunch for, I don't know, 20 people out of his kayak. I don't know how he did that. When we landed on the beach at the end of the tour, I was pretty freaked out because, you know, waves. But he was there kind of guiding us. He explained what we were going to do. And one by one, he kind of sent us in and was calling out directions. And it was a lovely day. It was beautiful. Our first outing, we were basically left to our own devices. On the second, we had someone who led us as we went. Huge difference. This is the last week of the eldership series. And we're going to be talking about the role of elders as leaders. Leaders in the church. Elders had to lead the church. And it's worth stopping for a minute to think about what leadership actually is. Dave Starling, some of you know, he's preached here before. He wrote a book called Uncorinthian Leadership. Great title. Let me read a quote. There's going to be a few Dave Starling quotes this morning. He writes this. Leadership involves giving direction and motivation, going somewhere and taking others with you. Leadership implies movement. In that respect, leadership is different from what you might call custodianship. A custodian stands guard over what is, protecting something precious, keeping it there in its place, warding off any threats. A leader heads off in a direction and brings other people along for the journey. In reality, most roles we call leadership involve elements of both leadership and custodianship. If you're going to take some people from Egypt to the promised land, you don't just need a map and a gift for persuasion. You'll also need to devote a fair bit of energy to warding off hunger and thirst and mutiny and idolatry and Amorites and Moabites and Amalekites. Nevertheless, there is still built into the concept of leadership the idea that there is a cause, a direction, a mission, or a journey to be accomplished. There is no point having leaders if you're not interested to go somewhere. End of the quote. Elders are called to lead. It involves being good custodians of what we have received, taking responsibility to guard what has been put into our hands, but it also involves launching out in a direction on a mission. Elders are called to lead the church. And this brings us back to this picture of leadership that I've been putting before you week after week, the picture of leadership as shepherding. If you were looking for a leader, you might go looking to recruit from the Harvard Business School. You might go to the Royal Military College. You might try and get someone from a political party or something. But where did God look? When God was looking for a leader, where did he look? Well, quite often in the Bible, he looks to the sheepfold. Consider this, Psalm 78. The end of Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72. It's a big psalm of Israel's history, and it talks about God choosing David to be their king. Now, could you find a more important leadership role than to be king of God's people? The psalm says this: He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. You get it? In the ancient world, shepherds led their sheep. Shepherding involved both caring for the needs of the flock, but also leading them somewhere, taking them somewhere. It was a beautiful and profound picture of leadership in the ancient world. You remember we've talked about Jesus being the good shepherd, that good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, where he talks about being the good shepherd. He says, "The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." It's the picture of Jesus, our good shepherd. Shepherds lead. The sheep know them. And they follow them. That's the picture Peter has in mind when he tells the elders in 1 Peter 5, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." That's his picture of shepherds. They're to lead people like a shepherd leads the flock, knowing them, leading them, guiding them. This is worlds apart from the CEO sitting in the office sending out orders through middle managers. It's world apart from the general ordering his troops into battle from a command center. The shepherd knows the sheep. They know his voice. He goes ahead of them and leads them. And they follow because they know him. And that is how elders are to lead in the church. Ultimately, elders are to lead like shepherds because God himself is our shepherd. So turn to Psalm 23. I'm sure you've heard this before. It's a beautiful psalm. As I read it, here's what I want you to notice. The elements of stewarding the flock, being good custodians, caring for them, but also the elements of leading the flock. Have a listen as I read these familiar words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Such a beautiful psalm. God the shepherd gives provision. He gives protection. He gives comfort. He gives correction. He even gives vindication in this psalm. But God the shepherd also leads us. Did you hear it? Did you notice how many places we went to in this psalm? How many places the good shepherd leads us? From green pastures to quiet waters to right paths to dark valleys to a table full of enemies. And finally, he leads us to our eternal home in the house of the Lord. Do you get it? Do you see it? He moves us. He gives us direction. He leads us through it all, and his goodness and his love follow behind. That's what shepherding leadership looks like. That is the kind of leadership that elders are called to. We are to shepherd the flock. So if leadership is about direction, where are we headed? What's the destination? What's the mission? If elders are to lead us, where are they supposed to take us? I want to suggest two things. Elders lead us to be pilgrims on the way to our eternal home, and elders lead us in the mission that Jesus has entrusted to us in the world. First, we are to be pilgrims on the way to our eternal home. Turn back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This chapter is this great roll call of those heroes of the faith in the Old Testament. Listen to the faith of Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham could have stayed in comfort in his father's household. He didn't have to go anywhere. But God called him out. He heard the promise of God, that call to go, the promise that called him out to be a pilgrim, a stranger in a strange land, living in tents, looking forward to the home that God would build. That's faith. That is faith. Abraham led his household to follow that promise. The writer goes on in verse 13. Look at verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country that they'd left, well, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God called them out. God made them a promise. And in faith, they went where he led. They were content to be foreigners, strangers on the earth, because they longed for the better home that God had promised. Faith calls us out. It sets eternity before our eyes and our heavenly home in our hearts. And it means we make a clean break with the world and its temptations. We are called out. You see it in the life of Moses. Have a look at verse 24 there. Listen to this faith of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses turned his back on all the imperial wealth and privilege and comfort of Egypt. He turned his back on it. All that he could have enjoyed as a prince of Egypt. And he chose ill treatment and scorn and disgrace. He follows God into the wilderness. And then back, as God brings him back, sends him back to Egypt as a deliverer. Side note, do you remember what Moses was doing for 40 years in the wilderness before God sent him back? Do you remember? He was shepherding his father's flock. Before he was leading God's people, he was leading the flock of God, leading his father-in-law's flock of sheep. Moses leads God's people as they follow that promise together, even when it seems dangerous, even when it seems impossible. The people are called to follow with this same faith. Verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. This is the pilgrim life of faith. Remember what Paul charged Timothy with, to be an example? Among other things, he was called to be an example of faith. He is to lead by faith, the kind of faith that hears the call, hears the promise of God and goes, the kind of faith that urges others to follow as well. Listen again to David Starling. This is the quote, "The gospel speaks about a coming kingdom and it constitutes the church as a pilgrim people, as a people on the road toward a destination they haven't arrived yet, but as a people whose home is in another place. The gospel speaks to the church that has gotten comfortable in the world, at home in this present age, and it sets the church on pilgrimage. This gospel is what the elders are to set before the church. This is calling that an elder leads the people toward together. We too would turn our back, make a clean break with the world and its temptations, and set our faces toward that eternal home where we will be with Christ, where we will dwell forever in the house of the Lord. That is what we are leading. Elders are not just to help us set our eyes on our heavenly home, though. They are also to lead us in the mission that God has given to his church. At the start of Matthew's gospel, Jesus calls the disciples to follow him. He literally says, "Come, follow me." That's leadership for you, isn't it? Put down your nets, drop what you're doing, and come and follow me. There's a leader for you. He's literally summoning them to come and walk after him. But he gives them a mission. It's built in right at the start of the call. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus calls his disciples. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." He gives them a mission. Built right into the call is a mission that God gives to his people to make disciples. And it's right there at the start when they're called, and it's right there at the end when he ascends to heaven. You know this, Matthew 28, verse 18, the risen Lord Jesus appears to his disciples and he sends them out into the world. Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." There's leadership for you. All authority in heaven and earth given to Jesus. And what does he command? The next verse, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You hear that mission the church is given? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is the mission that elders are supposed to keep putting in front of the church. Keep us setting our face toward that so that we as a church are on about that together. In fact, Jesus spoke about it when he talked about being a good shepherd. Again, John 10, starting at verse 14, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Wonderful gospel that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And then he says this, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus' purpose was always to gather people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and unite them together. He is the shepherd that leads the flock, the shepherd who lays down his life for the flock, but also a shepherd who gathers sheep into his flock from everywhere. And that is the mission that we are on about as a church. Let me give you one more from the Reverend Dr. Starling. "The gospel message declares that Jesus is Lord of all, that salvation is only in him for all people to the ends of the earth, that all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him, and all people everywhere are summoned to repent and trust him and worship him and delight in him. The unavoidable implication is that the gospel says to the church and to the individual disciple, go and make disciples of all nations. The gospel speaks to the church that has become comfortable in itself with its own cozy ecclesiastical circle and sends it out into the world to declare and to demonstrate the saving lordship of Jesus in every corner of the earth." We've been given a mission. The mission that Jesus has given to his church, and that is the mission that the elders are supposed to lead the church in. As under-shepherds of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we lead the church in that gathering mission. We lead the church in its pilgrimage home. That's the twin challenge of Christian leadership, to keep us faithful in pilgrimage and to keep us faithful in mission. Leadership has always been described as moving people from point A to point B. You know, that's just a basic definition of leadership, getting people from point A to point B. And you know what's hard? Point A is comfortable and it's safe and it's known. And point B is uncomfortable and it's risky and it's unknown. And it took all of a few weeks before the Israelites in the wilderness, straight out of Egypt, rescued by God's miraculous hand, a few weeks, and they'd already forgotten. Forgotten God's divine deliverance from slavery in Egypt, and they were grumbling about where they were going, and they were grumbling about how it is now, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, back to slavery. That's what we are like as people. We don't want to keep going. We'd rather go back to slavery. Imagine it. Being willing to give up on God and go back to slavery. Somehow elders need to lead the church away from the comforts and the temptations of the world toward the glories of eternity. Somehow elders need to lead the church away from complacency and apathy and consumer religion where it's all about us, to the passion and the power of the mission of God. We lead in teaching people to embrace the cross, knowing that after the cross comes the crown. After the cross comes the crown. Let me finish with what I think is one of the most glorious and precious promises of the gospel. A glorious promise that has got me through a lot of hard days. When you put your faith in Jesus, he promises to be with you always. To be with you always. It is the most precious, beautiful thing to me that he promises he is always with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It is a promise for anyone who's doing it tough in Christian ministry, in Christian leadership. It's for every believer, wherever you are, wherever this good shepherd has led you. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. In green pastures, in dark valleys, he is with you. When you are seated at a table full of enemies, what kind of dinner party is that? He is with you. In the heat of the wilderness, or the heat of battle, is with you. No matter how long the road feels, and some days, gee, you look ahead and think, man, this feels like a long road. He's with you every single step of the way. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We lead by following the one who goes before us. We are not promised that the road of pilgrimage will be easy. We are not promised that the mission we are sent on will be safe. But we are promised that our good shepherd, the one who has all authority and all power, will be with us always, everywhere, always, to the end of the age. This is our last week talking about eldership. I hope it's opened your eyes to the noble task of being an elder. I hope it's been encouraging. I hope you found encouragement for your own faith in it. I hope it's given you a good grounding for understanding what Christian leadership should look like. I hope for some of you it's stirred in you a desire for something to aspire to. If it hasn't, thanks for indulging me for 5 weeks because I've found it incredibly encouraging. But I want to finish with two wonderful verses. Two wonderful verses. The first is this promise that Peter speaks to all those who serve faithfully as an elder. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Peter writes to those who are elders in the church, and he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. First the cross, then the crown. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It is worth holding on. It is worth doing it tough. It's worth leading. Even when it's hard, it's worth it. And the second verse is for all of us. This beautiful confession of the goodness and the faithfulness of God to all his sheep. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise for every one of us, for every sheep following the Good Shepherd. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, once again we marvel at you, the Good Shepherd. The one who loves his sheep so dearly, he'd lay down his life for them. The one who is with them always, never leaves them, never forsakes them, leads them wherever they are. Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust you more, that we would make that clean break with that world, that we would join you on that pilgrimage that you call us to, that you would summon us and empower us for that mission. That we would have you set before our eyes, and we would follow you. And I pray, God, for those of us who are called to lead, for those of us who are called to take up this responsibility of shepherding your people here, would you keep that set firmly before us too? And we are heading home. Keep us faithful in pilgrimage. You've given us something to do. Keep us faithful in that mission. And above all, help us see Jesus. Help us set our eyes on him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.